This is the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light Seltzer, for those anytime easy drinking occasions.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball game is on the way back. A College World Series title. The Bomb Stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast.
Want to get on the conversation? Call or text into the Morning Rush at 877-377-6963. Let's go to the phone lines. Danny is in Russellville. What's going on, Danny?
Good morning, guys. Of the 14 games that we have won, probably got out-rebounded in almost all of them. Maybe might have two or three out-rebounded the opponent. What's killing us is we're not hitting open shots. Against Kentucky, we got a three-point lead, and we got the ball, and we come out, get wide open three, we don't hit it. If we hit that shot, the roof comes off Bud Walton, and we're just not knocking down the open shots. And as far as Isaiah Joe, 1 for 8 and 2 for 13 or 11, whatever, if he just hits, him and Mason, it just hit one more three, and we don't foul so much. 27 out of 31 at the foul line for Mississippi State. That's too much, too many foul shots. And we set the tone 0 for 5 from the line right out of the gate. Those are the things that are killing us. Mm-hmm. And I can see the frustration on Musselman's face because he knows we're better. We're a much better shooting team than what we're showing. And that's what's killing him because he knows we're going to get out rebounded. But he's accounting us to hit the threes. And I don't mean all of them. I mean just a reasonable amount. And we win almost every game this year. Just think of all the games we've lost. We just have not shot well. And
Danny, you gotta,
are we saving it for then?
You got to have a team that – Arkansas is a kind of team that's got to make at least 10 threes in a game. So
I agree.
When you,
we're not doing it.
Well, I mean, made four. I mean, and now some of that was because I thought – you know, and John, you step in here if you think I'm wrong, but I thought Mississippi State was just allowing them to drive the lane and we'll just defend the paint low, and that was one of the reasons. But Arkansas missed a ton of shots inside the lane. I think they took fewer threes because State was giving them other open looks. But, Danny, you got to make more than four. Arkansas's not going to win any games against a quality opponent like that making 4 3-point baskets.
All we have to do is make two more threes and just make a few more free throws, and we win the game. It's almost every game we've played this year, it's been the same formula. We've not shot very well from free throw, and we're missing our open shots. Guys, before I get off here, these coaches, these football coaches, have you listened to the interviews with Barry Odom and Kendall Briles that they had?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. How impressive was that? I mean, these guys, I feel like we're in good hands. And have you guys made a prediction where we'll end up at the end of the recruiting in the rankings?
I haven't made a prediction, but my guess would be somewhere, but I think best case scenario would be like 30th, and worst case scenario would be 40. So basically kind of in that range of 30 to 40
well,
in the ranks.
Wouldn't 30 be an absolute great thing?
Oh, man, I'd take it all day.
From 30
I'd take
to 35,
it all day.
Considering where we started, all of our players decommitted.
Yeah.
I don't think Mississippi State, I don't think any of theirs decommitted when they lost their coach, did they?
I don't think so, but, you know, different circumstances because that was also after
right.
the, you know, the signing
already,
period.
A lot of them signed already. Of course,
yeah.
They can't do nothing. But, yeah, I feel good about this class, and we do the best we can this year, and then next year you better look out. All right, guys. Have a good day, and thanks for taking my call.
Thanks. Well, thanks as always, Danny. I want to go back to your point, though, Danny, when you're talking about just, you know, the setup and the formula for Arkansas winning games, especially ones that they should have won this year, the ones they lost. You know, if you think about it, Eric Musselman is very transparent. And in these press conferences that he has, if you've gone to hitthatline.com and watch these press conferences, he knows these things that we're saying. It's not like we're having to dive into and say, okay, so what could be the problem? He has come out and said, we have to make more threes. we have to do, we know we're going to get out rebounded big time in these games because of our lack of size. So we have to do other things. We have to cause turnovers. We have to do these things in order to win. And I get what Danny's saying, because I know what you were talking about, Tommy, against Mississippi State, how they just did a good job defensively against Mississippi State or against Arkansas. And I agree with you. But there was also times where I think, and this is where Eric Musselman and his frustration comes in, where, all right, they're going to guard you. They know what your film. They know what you do. They know you're going to shoot threes. So when you have an open look at three, you have to make it. Like it's not going to come very often because they're going to be gunning that. But if you have a good play call, if you have a something in transition, whatever it is, you got to make the ones that you are open for. And that's where it became frustrating, where against Mississippi State specifically, you had some good looks. You had some open shots, especially from three, and you just weren't making them. So that's the type of team that you have to be this year, is you have to make your threes. Of course, we all know that they have to make their free throws. That's for every team. But Arkansas is just not good enough to make only four threes and expect to win these games, like you said, against quality opponents.
Sports Fun 11 is watching us on Periscope this morning. Watch the show on we got live streaming on Periscope, Facebook, YouTube. He asked, what's a good percentage from three, 30 to 40% is his question. Well, yeah, that's a great percentage if you can shoot above a third. That's acceptable. But here's the deal. I don't want to say percentage doesn't matter because it always matters, but it's the number of made three-point baskets to me.
Yes.
If Arkansas had went 4 for 4 the other night and shot 100%
behind, it would have made a difference.
It would, yeah, I mean, who cares? I mean, it's still, yes, percentage matters, but at the same time, it doesn't matter either, because to me, you still have to get about 10 of those three-point baskets or somewhere in that neighborhood to have a chance to win. So while percentage is good to look at because you got a team that doesn't rebound well and not going to get a ton of second-chance points, that number to the left of that column is more important.
Yeah, and in fact, I was looking at some of the comparisons for guys like Isaiah Joe and Desi Sills this year in their three-point shooting compared to what it was last year. And yes, if you look at the percentages, they're not as high this year as they were last year. I'm looking at the stat right now. Last year, Isaiah Joe shot 41% from three, and Desi Sills shot 46% from three. Now, take into consideration this. Last year, Isaiah Joe only played 30 minutes per game, where Desi Sills played 17 minutes per game. Isaiah Joe this year is shooting 34% from three, but playing 37 minutes per game, while Sills is shooting 21% from three, playing 30 minutes per game. So it's, again, percentages are all well and good, but when you consider how many more minutes that these two players, especially Desi Sills, are playing and all of that, it really kind of makes sense of why the percentages are so low, is because they're shooting a high volume amount of threes and they're playing more minutes. Like, yeah. Isaiah Joe's game is three balls. Let's just be honest. He can do other things too, but it is his three-point shot that is making him into the player that he is. And you want him shooting threes. You want him to shoot a high volume of them. And now, I'm not a mathematician, but this just kind of makes sense to me, Tommy, that the more you shoot from three, the percentage will go down because you're shooting more. It's just how it is. So I agree with you. It's more about the actual number of makes in these games. Mm-hmm. Because if, say, for instance, you go out against TCU tomorrow and you shoot 25% from three, well, that's not very good. But imagine if you shot 25% for three, but you went 10 of 40. Would you not, if you made 10 three-pointers, would you say, all right, that's probably a pretty good thing because, you know, that's 30 points right there. So, you know, it's about the makes, not about the percentages.
Yeah, I agree. And, but, you know, that means you also put some pressure on rebounding as well to make sure that you can rebound the basketball, because if you go 10 of 40, probably not going to have very efficient possessions with a team like this. We're brought to you by World of Wireless, 877-305-DISH. That's 877-305-3474. Call WOW now, and they'll get you installed with DISH in your home, lock in your price for 2 years. And you can watch all the SEC Big 12 Challenge this weekend. You can take care of all of it when you call World of Wireless, plus have whole home DVR, HD in every room, even 4K in every room as well. That's 877-305-DISH for WOW, World of Wireless.
Yeah, let's talk about this SEC Big 12 Challenge, because we know Arkansas and TCU is going to be the game that most Razorback fans are going to have their eye on. But looking at some of these other games, which ones interest you the most? I'll just go through the list, Tommy, and we can kind of look at them. You start off with Missouri and West Virginia. I could not care less about that game. It's who cares? But you have Auburn and Iowa State, which is kind of a weird thing because Auburn – I don't know how they do the scheduling and all that, but Iowa State is terrible. They're 9-9 this year, 0-4 going away from their arena, so they're not a very good team. But Auburn, of course, we know that they're good, and that game's a home game, so they should win that one easily. But then you have LSU and Texas. You have Mississippi State and Oklahoma. Tennessee and Kansas, which is going to be interesting with those suspensions for the Kansas. I mean, Tennessee should win that game. But you have that. You have Texas A&M, Oklahoma State. And then you have Kentucky, Texas Tech, Alabama, Kansas State, Baylor and Florida. I mean, I could be wrong. You could disagree, but that's not really a great slate of games and great slate of matchups to me, besides maybe Kentucky and Texas Tech.
Oh, I think the most interesting thing is College Game Day's at Kansas.
Yeah. Whoops.
And they got that matchup there, what, Kansas-Tennessee? And what do you think the storyline's going to be?
How many times are they going to show that video highlight of the brawl that happened between Kansas, Kansas State, and then talking about the suspensions? That's going to be the main story for them.
What an awful – if you just think about it. I mean, not that Kansas has been waiting around forever in program history to get College Game Day there, because it's happened before. But now you got, for whatever it's worth, and there's not – you know, this isn't College Game Day in football. There aren't tens of millions. There's millions, maybe a million people watching it. It's not, College Basketball Game Day is not nearly as big a thing, but it is the marquee pregame show on a big football or big basketball Saturday when there is no football of any kind, really, other than Pro Bowl this weekend. And you're the headline for all the wrong reasons, and the biggest show is coming to your place. That to me makes that interesting to me, just to see how they frame it, how they handle it, and you know, they have those discussions, those wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Hey, let's not talk about that. You know,
but Tommy, knowing Jeff Long, who's the AD of Kansas right now, knowing him, he would probably find a way to finagle his way to get on set of College Game Day and be like, I'm going to use this platform to talk about this and apologize for it. And because, you know, he knows he's all about the FaceTime. He's all about Jeff Long. Mm-hmm. So it wouldn't surprise me at all if they just said they embraced it, but instead Jeff Long's the one that handles it, and he sits there on the game day set. Yeah. Like, I could totally see him doing and pulling a move,
I'll take
that
one for the team here.
Yeah, I'll be the face here.
I'll be the one to go on national TV and take the brunt of this. Yeah.
Yes, and just make sure you put below my name, my Twitter handle, and all of that, so you can see my tweeting of fun things.
Well,
so
it is. I just think it's hilarious that they've got to be on the main stage, if you will, of College Game Day in ESPN's focus. And ESPN has to cover. They're obligated to talk about what happened there. So just one more thing and one more way for that story not to die off. And and all the suspensions certainly makes that game less interesting as well.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking at it too. So would you say that's the most intriguing game besides the Arkansas game for the SEC Big 12 Challenge?
I think Baylor-Florida's pretty interesting myself.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, I mean, Baylor's 16-1. This is on the road to Florida. Florida's been kind of a weird team to try to figure out. They're sitting at 12-6.
I'll take Kentucky, Texas Tech. I heard some folks talking about this yesterday on something I was listening to, that this Kentucky team coming into Lubbock, number one, they're going into a hostile environment back-to-back Saturdays. No big deal for Kentucky. It's always that way. But this is the most anticipated game that's been to Lubbock since, like, Bob Knight brought Indiana there in 99, and it's like it was in Fayetteville last week, maybe even larger in Lubbock, because they understand what it's like to have a team like this, a coach like this coming to town, and that the town of Lubbock is just, you know, on its edge in anticipation.
Yeah, you don't see a lot of marquee events come to Lubbock at all. much less in basketball. I guess that time when Texas came to town in football and they had the Graham Harrell and Michael Crabtree crazy ending to that game was probably the last time you had an anticipated sporting event like that. But, hey, Texas Tech and Chris Beard, man, he's just a machine. They're number 18 in the country, which is weird because they're sitting at 12-6, so the record's not exactly great. But one of the teams that they lost to is TCU, the team that Arkansas is playing this weekend.
Brought to you by AR Better Dads. Hey, it's great that we live in a world where there's help and resources out there to be better dads. That's all. It's the toughest job any of us have. Thankfully, we can go online and find out more about inspiring, instructing, and creating opportunities for great interaction with fathers and their families. No matter how difficult your family situation may be, just giving a little encouragement, mentoring, and simply being there can help you be the kind of dad your child needs and deserves. Let's go to arbetterdads.com and learn more. That's arbetterdads.com, brought to you by the Arkansas Division of Workforce Services. John, what if we got this, and I think the conference is anticipating this Big 12 challenge tomorrow, and you want to win it. You want to win 7 or 8 games and make a declarative statement about where this league is at. It's great for tournament resumes. What if we did this in football? How would it need to look? To me, it would need to be like week one, we come out of the gate with this, and there's I guess you could have 10 games because the Big 12 only has 10 schools for some reason, but you know the SEC would have 4 other teams that wouldn't fit in the rotation. How much fun would that be if that's what we had to talk about the offseason, building up to game one is, you know, getting everybody's schedules cleared out, and Arkansas would play Oklahoma State, and I know they're on the schedule down the road, or, you know, pick a school. There'd be some great matchups you could have in week one of college football if you had this conference-wide challenge between these two schools, these two conferences.
Oh, yeah, and I think I could be wrong about this, but it seems like they at least try to schedule the games in basketball based on the previous year as far as, all right, well, if this team was number one in the Big 12 and this team was number one in the SEC, let's have them play each other the next year. You know, it kind of like goes down the list. At least that's how I view it. I don't know if that's exactly how it's done, but it sure seems like that's how it's done most cases because they want the biggest and most marquee matchups between the two
ESPN teams. Sets these matchups.
Oh, yes. So let's just assume that's the case. You would have Oklahoma playing LSU.
Yep.
Would you watch that? Absolutely.
And, you know, you could play these on campus, which would be great. But if you played them week one, you could do them in NFL neutral site type venues because those stadiums would probably be available, whether it was Arrowhead in Kansas City or whether it was Jerry's stadium there in Arlington or, you know, the Superdome, Nashville. There'd be a few places you could play if you wanted to even do some of these off-campus neutral site. You wouldn't have to. I think it'd be more fun if you did them on campus. But, you'd want best on best. And there's going to be 4 teams in the league that wouldn't be in it for the SEC. And quite frankly, Arkansas is probably one of those 4 right now.
Yeah, I was about to say that would probably not be the best case because Arkansas would be left out of it.
Yep.
But you know what? That's okay. They could use an easier game instead of going up against it. But if you look at that, you would have Oklahoma versus LSU, which I know would be must watch. Baylor would play Georgia, which, I mean, you know, Matt Rule's not in Baylor anymore, so it probably wouldn't be the same game. But who knows? Maybe something could be magical there. Then you would have Texas and Alabama. Tommy, would you watch Texas and Alabama?
Are there 2 bigger brands in college football?
Hard to beat right now as far as the brands go. But, yeah, I would absolutely watch that game. If you look at it after that, you have Oklahoma State, who finished in 4th. And then who would they play? They'd play Florida. So I'd watch that, too. Kansas State would play Auburn. Iowa State would play more than likely because, again, they don't have divisions, so I'm just kind of having to go through their overall standings. But they would probably end up playing Texas A&M. So, I mean, if you just kind of go down the list.
You hadn't mentioned a bad game yet.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, it just makes sense. TCU, who went 5-7 last year, which, again, I know is not ideal for them, but they're usually a pretty good team under Gary Patterson. They would end up playing a team like Kentucky.
All right, here's what we got to do. We got to do this, and we got to get these 10 games, but you do it that first weekend so we can make it a Saturday, Sunday, Monday deal. Because Labor Day weekend, that's when you do it, but before the NFL starts, and you play like 3 games, 4 games on Sunday, 3 games Saturday, 4 games Sunday, or 4-3, and then a couple on Monday, you figure out 4-4-2, and you got 2 big primetime games on Monday night. That's how this needs to be done.
I would not leave my couch.
Yeah, exactly. This needs to be a 3-day made-for-television event. And I'm telling you right now, if they really wanted to get rich because these schools don't have any money, you know, they're all broke.
Yeah, of course.
You could put this on. How much would you pay if they made them all like pay-per-view? You had to buy the package to get all 10 games. I mean, easily $100, you know.
Easily.
How much more, if they wanted to go that route where ESPN made you buy a pass to watch them all? You'd be in on that in a heartbeat. But
yeah.
I'd do it that way, but I would be willing to pay a lot of money to watch those 10 games.
And I would allow you to pay it, and I can come over to your house and watch it.
I'd be fine. Right.
we'll pass the
offering plate.
Yeah, that's right. Try to be a party there. Let's go to the phone lines. David is in South Arkansas. What's going on, David?
Good morning, gentlemen. I remember last week at this time I called. I was heading to Kansas City for the AFC Championship game. And, of course, the Chiefs won, heading to the Super Bowl. And one other thing, I believe next season, Hogs, Missouri play in Arrowhead. So, if you've never had a chance to get to Arrowhead, this is a chance to get to Arrowhead. It is, of course, the center of the football universe. But thanks, guys. Good show. And go Chiefs. I will say this, though. That championship game, I went to the 78 Orange Bowl, and I went to the 2000 Cotton Bowl. This game is up there, the top three. Excellent. Thanks, guys.
Maybe as objective and unbiased a call as we've ever had. Right
I'm
there.
Telling you. I don't know. Who does he root for? I couldn't tell. Yeah, I couldn't tell who he's a fan of. But glad you could call in and share that,
David.
Did
the Chiefs win? I think he said the Chiefs won.
Yeah, I think they're going to the Super Bowl last I checked.
You better start driving to Miami now.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, when you mentioned the Arkansas-Missouri game being played in Kansas City, you know, that would be the next question as far as the Big 12 SEC challenge if they did it in football. Like you mentioned, would it be a neutral site type game, or would they want to do it a home-and-home type of situation like they do in basketball? Personally and selfishly, I would like it to just be a home-and-home because, you know, you'd love to have, even if he had to go on the road every so often, if you are able to have a home game against these opponents every other year, I'm fine with that. But what I would hate is that every single year you lose that home game.
Yeah.
You know, you would lose it, even if it was played in Jerry World or Kansas City or whatever. It's like, you know, if there ever came a point where Arkansas plays Texas, say if they got matched up, would you want that game to be at home in Fayetteville? Like, that's where you'd want it to be. But I have a feeling that if that ever ended up happening, at least for some of the bigger matchups, they'd definitely try to find a way to put it into the neutral site games.
Yeah. I mean, home campus, because the tailgating would be great. The atmospheres would be more like college football. And it wouldn't require every fan that goes to get hotel rooms, to make a $2,000-$4,000 financial commitment to go to another city to watch your team play what would have been a home game. So
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, Chris in Fayetteville just texted in. He says, "If I'm paying $100 a month for cable to have ESPN, I'm not paying a dime for pay-per-view."
Hey, you know, the kids can do without lunch at school that first month. Something we'll figure out a plan. If that's what it would cost, I'm just saying. I'm not saying that's how they should do it. I'm just saying that's what we'd be willing to pay.
Yeah. Just win some money here at Oaklawn. You'll be good.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light Seltzer, available in black cherry, strawberry, lemon lime, and mango.
Give is to Alex Collins straight up the middle, and Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas.
By the way, Maddie, I need you to do me a favor. Put out on our Twitter at HitThatLineAR and just put out a poll question just asking people if they would be against moving the Super Bowl to Saturday. I'm curious to see if it's as overwhelming as I think it is, as I hope it is.
Who would be against it?
Well, see, that's the thing is I don't know. I honestly don't. And if they are against it,
people are bound by tradition.
Yeah, that was what I was going to say. The only people I could think that would be against it is people that just don't like change, don't want to see it change, because Super Bowl Sunday rolls off the tongue so much better than Super Bowl Saturday. Well, okay, but it's about the real issue, which is the party. That's what it's about. It's not about the game. Who cares? It's about the party. It's about selfishry. So I put that up there and just see if it's as overwhelming as I think it would be.
I wonder what the research shows, because, listen, if it was overwhelming, more people would watch on TV worldwide. And that's the other thing we have to consider. This isn't just an American sporting event. This is an international sporting event. How would it affect viewership around the world? Because that's really what they don't really care about your party, my party, or anyone's watch party. What they do care about is how many eyeballs are on those TV sets worldwide. And because that's what drives, you know, rights fees back to the NFL, to the owners, and to the players, because they split revenues. So I wonder what the research shows there. Would more people watch on a Saturday versus a Sunday?
See, I don't know. I would think so. I mean, I know that I don't have any, like, strenuous research in front of me, but I would just think so. I would think that it would be better for everybody involved and for the audience, too, because, I mean, now, Tommy, would you still want it to be as late at night as you'd want it? I mean, what time are we talking about?
Well, it'd have to be the
kickoff.
It would have to be the evening, because people do work on Saturdays. Not as many people work on Sundays. Many businesses are closed on Sundays, but a lot of retail is open 6 days a week. But I think if you had the game at a 7 o'clock, 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central, you know, maybe an hour later than it is now, most retail could close their doors and be home in time for that. It'd have to be in the evening. That's the only way it would work, just because of the fact that there are a lot of people that work on Saturday still.
Oh, yeah, and I mean, it would have to be in the evening. I just didn't know, because sometimes, you know, like, what is it, the national championship in college football doesn't start kickoff to like 7:30 on Monday, you know, or whatever. And so that could be some problems. But, you know, moving it to Saturday and having it around that time frame, of course, in the evening, it would just open up so many more opportunities. It'd be better for the economy, because that's really what it's about. You know, America's economy. Would bolster, and you know, whoever is going to win the presidential election in 2020, if they came out and said that we are instituting a new resolution or law or whatever that says that the Super Bowl will be played on Saturdays, they might get my vote. I mean, I'd have to think about it.
Regardless of what else they favored,
Regardless of everything else, they may have to do it. So. Yeah. Because here's the thing, too. Like, Josh in Fort Smith just texted in, Tommy, and says, how about moving the college football national championship game from Monday to a Saturday?
Totally agree.
Yes, and I don't understand why. Is it because of the NFL and they play those playoff games?
Yep. Trying to avoid those, I guess, wild card and divisional round games with your playoff games. I see, and I think that they need to get to the point where they're not playing anything else other than those semifinals on that day. And, you know, and I know it's about the student athlete. We got to, you know, get them back to campus so they can return to their studies. Well, we're talking about one or two teams here. And most of those guys, you know, the really good players aren't coming back anyway. This has a minor effect on the general population of student athletes. But the hang up there is, how do you avoid NFL playoff games and the TV conflict? So. Because the NFL likes those primetime spots themselves that they're getting on the weekends.
Yeah, which, again, that makes sense, too. But surely there is some sort of way to maneuver this around, to maneuver it around to where you could have it where everybody wins in some capacity. I don't know if there's an answer to it, like, that could just make it. Because it's all being about the scheduling, about ESPN, and about all those people that wanted to make the most money out of it, which I get, which I totally get. But it just does not. It does not make sense to me that college football, which has become a monster in its own, it's not as big of a monster as the NFL, as we know, but it's still a monster within its own, that the biggest game of the season that everyone will want to watch, or at least that everyone is going to be interested in, that game is on a Monday. Like, what other big-time event, sporting event, whatever it is on a Monday? Besides, I know that, like, in NBA and World Series and all that, you have series, so you really don't know when it's going to end, when the championship's actually going to be, the final game of it because of how the series goes. But I just can't imagine any other big event like this, television event especially, where it's like, well, since I'm here at Oakland, Tommy, what is the biggest horse racing event of the year?
The Kentucky Derby.
What day is the Kentucky Derby on?
First Saturday in May, John, every
Boom.
Year.
Boom. Why, Tommy?
Because that's the way it's been done for 150 years.
But it's on a Saturday. Right. But it's like, that's where it makes it
because
so much
150 years ago, that's when the train came through Louisville.
If we're really going to dive into it, I'm sure that has some sort of reasoning behind that. But still, could you imagine if the Kentucky Derby being on a Sunday, to me, I mean, I think still people would watch it. But it would just – I think that where it's at is perfectly fine. Same thing with if you want to look at golf and the Masters. I know it's over a few days, but you know, it's over the weekend. Mm-hmm. It doesn't go into Monday. It ends on Sunday. Why? Because it's the weekend. It's where people are watching. So it's just, to me, the biggest sporting events, if you can help it, are normally on weekends, especially. Like, I know that we're talking about Super Bowl moving from Sunday to Saturday, but even the College Football National Championship, it's just it's a crime that it is on a Monday night. It's just a crime.
Lang Whitman, who, by the way, is going to join us in the 8 o'clock hour, he has tweeted into the show, Final Four Championships on Monday. Lang's going to be our horse racing expert that joins us this year. We'll talk to him in the 8 o'clock hour on a perfect day here on opening day at Oakland. The Final Four, to me, the big day, I know the national championships decided that Monday night, but the big day is the Saturday where you play the two semifinals. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the most enjoyable part about the end of college basketball season.
Right, right. Yeah, because which is the bigger day
to you?
Well, I mean, if I'm looking at it just from the quality of games, I mean, the Final Four is going to be better to me just because you get two.
Right.
You get two games all in once. But as far as the national championship goes, though, most cases, I mean, I'm going to be watching it no matter what. And, you know, I'm going to be excited about that, too. But and in basketball, it's different because you can have a quicker turnaround than waiting, you know, a whole week. Where in football, I mean, you can't have a two-day turnaround after playing in the national semifinal and then playing the national championship. But, I mean, what if you moved it up a week, Tommy? You know, what if you moved the college football playoff semifinal up to the Saturday before, and that way that next Saturday – There's no NFL game.
There seems to be a lot of wasted time in December. We could be playing college football on weekends and move a lot of bowl games up and make that happen. You know?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. No, I think that it can all make sense. But we have a few people texting into the show. Colton in Farmington says, whoever decided Sunday was a good day for the Super Bowl was a homer. Well, all right. Well, I guess I don't know a homer of what. Homer of Sundays, maybe. But this comes from the 618. It says, I live in Savannah, Georgia, and I could not – I watched the whole college football national championship because I had to get up early the next day. That's right, because if you're on the East Coast, you know, I mean, you're really screwed whole deal, because then it doesn't kick off until past 8 o'clock, 8:30. And, you know, I think you were the same way, that when we watched the college football national championship, we didn't wake up until – or we had to wake up early for the show, but we didn't go to bed until, past midnight?
Past midnight. And when you're watching an exciting game like that and a big – it's hard for me to just – I got to – if I'm laying in bed watching it, I'm going to inevitably fall asleep and not make it to the end. And if I don't want to do that, I got to stay up. And then you got to wind down. Yeah, I mean, if you work early in the morning, you work early shift like we do, you know, these late games are a killer. And there's a lot of people in medical fields, manufacturing. A lot of people have 6 or 7 a.m. work starts, which mean early days. So absolutely, that's a problem. And we don't have it as bad as, like you said, the East Coasters, who are even an hour later on the start. And an hour later on the finish.
Hmm. Yeah. I mean, I feel like we're solving the world's problems right here on the show. Like, we're figuring
these
things out.
These are first world problems, yes.
Exactly right. Exactly right. We have a few more people that have been texting in. This one comes from Cody in Mountain Home. Says, Monday championship games let you talk trash to coworkers throughout the day. Well, I guess that is one positive, unless your team's in it, though. It doesn't have the same draw that it once did. It makes sense to us. And if it makes sense to us, Tommy, to me, it should make sense to the world.
You know, one thing you could have at your Super Bowl party, this is what I had at my Super Bowl party last year, was ribs from Art's Barbecue. And you need to call Wade now, 452-2550. Let them smoke up some ribs, some chicken, some brisket, some of that smoked sausage, anything you're looking for your Super Bowl get together. They'll have for you at Art's. Great ribs, great sides. So if you're planning the gathering, you're looking for, hey, I don't have time. I got church, I got kids stuff, whatever, and I'm not going to have time to smoke 10 racks of ribs just in time for the Super Bowl. Well, they can do it for you at Arts. Call Wade, 452-2550, and they'll get it ready to go for Super Bowl Sunday for you at Arts Barbecue.
You said somebody's going to have a birthday lunch from Arts today, right?
Yeah, today is Dylan's 10th birthday.
So Happy birthday, Dylan.
Dylan Kraft, 10 years old today, so...
All the kids at school are going to be jealous when he's biting into an Arts burger.
Hopefully he's not listening
now
because
spoiler
he doesn't
alert.
Know I'm coming. But, yeah, I'm going to go eat lunch with the birthday boy today. That's all right. He'll be excited either way. He's probably playing Fortnite before school and arguing with his mom right now. But, hey, it's my birthday. I get to play Fortnite before school. No, you don't. So get ready for school. But, yeah, I'm going to surprise him with lunch today. And one of his favorite things is a kid's burger from Arts.
Hmm.
So, and since it's his birthday, we're going to upgrade to onion rings today.
I say pretty soon we'll have to get the grown-up burger, right?
If it was up to him, he'd already have that. So. Dad's honestly, trying to show restraint for him.
Yeah, I've been to Arts many times, Tommy. I don't think I've had their burger. I don't think I've tried that. Yeah, I've tried everything else. I guess I just never.
You're missing out, buddy.
I guess I have to try that next time I go. Because I've tried everything, and everything's been amazing. So I don't know. I guess I'll have to figure that out if that's the case. But anyways, man, that's good. You're making me hungry over here, Tommy. Yeah.
An update to our Twitter poll.
Oh yeah, give us an update.
We have 91 votes. I'm shocked it's this close though. 70% want it moved to Saturday, but there's some 30% of people are crazy and want it to stay on Sunday.
That's 100 votes in about 4 minutes.
And it's up to 104 votes.
Yeah.
Wow, that's just. I'm kind of surprised by that too. I guess we got a lot of traditionalists there on social media who want to keep there on Sunday.
30% of the people probably work on Saturdays.
That's true.
Yeah. That's true too. That's true too. Chaz and Fayetteville texted in and says, "What if they started the Super Bowl at 1:30 to 2 or 2:30 in that range on Sunday? Would that make it better?"
Yes, but they're not going to do that because they've got to have a 9-hour pregame show.
That's right.
To put more ads in. I mean, that's what
they could start at 4 a.m. instead.
And there are people that work Sunday.
People in church.
Church. A lot of churches will have either an earlier service or whatever, and then. Hey, let's go to the fellowship hall. Everybody go to the fellowship hall. Yeah. We're going to have a big chili supper, you know. Watch Super Bowl. So a lot of churches don't have Sunday night service anymore.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of a thing of the past, seems like. Yeah. But, yeah, I would be apt to have it in the afternoons if that meant, you know, having it. But like you said, Tommy, they're just never going to do that. Because Tyler and Greenwood just texted and he says that would mean the pregame show for Super Bowl would start on Saturday.
Well, why not?
Well, hey, technically the Super Bowl, my goodness, they do pregame shows for days. They got people live on location the whole week leading up to it. I mean, it's a big deal no matter what.
When you pay the kind of money these networks pay and the kind of hundreds of millions of dollars commitment you have each week, each year, I mean, it is a massive financial commitment. When you get that Super Bowl, what is it, every... third year, I guess, it rotates around.
Yeah.
For this year for Fox, this is where you got to make up a lot of ground a lot of times. So, the Super Bowl is a huge part of how you pay that contract back. So I understand financially why they've got to have a 10-hour pregame show for Super Bowl.
Yeah, you know? Listen, they're not doing it just for to waste breath. You know, they're doing it because they have ads to sell and they can sell and they can make money off it. Yep. Plus, I mean, is anybody going to be really upset that they're doing a 10-hour pregame show to the Super Bowl? No. It's just part of it. By the way, Jeff tweeted into the show. Jeff, I don't know about this, man. He says, to that point, I also suggest moving Thanksgiving to Super Bowl weekend. People already skip right to Christmas after Halloween. There's no major holiday from New Year's to Memorial Day. Boom, have Thanksgiving in January.
Let me check with all the pilgrims on my on my list here and see what the pilgrims think about that.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Jeff. I couldn't. Thanksgiving to me is one of those holidays. It's set, man. It is locked into Thanksgiving in November. I mean,
I wouldn't mind a March Thanksgiving.
I'm telling you, this year I'm doing Thanksgiving twice, and what I mean is we're going to do turkey and dressing and all of it. Like in June. You got Christmas in July. I'm doing Thanksgiving in June this year.
I mean, that's not a bad idea.
I'm doing it twice a year. I'm going to pick a weekend in June. I'm smoking a turkey. I'm doing the dressing. We're going to have the cranberry sauce. We're going to do it all. Because it's just too dadgum good to do once a year.
So are you going to do it on a Thursday in June?
No, I'm probably doing it on a weekend, but... I mean, we're going to have the food.
Are you going to put a decorative cornucopia out, too?
Why not? Drag all the decorations all out. Yeah, get all the browns and oranges out and all the decorations and go.
And everybody's
going to
be wearing...
The horn of plenty. Bring in the horn of plenty from the other room.
Yeah, even though it's summertime and people still have to wear their fall colors, you know, the oranges and the yellows and the reds and all that good stuff. Hey, that's not a bad idea, Tommy, because like you said... The Thanksgiving feast, the food itself, is way too good to only have once a year.
You could couple that with Father's Day, you know, because dads always get shafted. You know, moms, we go out, we eat, we stand in line for hours, we make sure they have the finest filet mignon or whatever it is after church on Mother's Day. You know, dads, we got some bologna sandwich here and some stale white bread for you, you know. Yeah, dads always get the shaft on that deal. Because dads end up having to cook themselves. So we could couple this with Father's Day, and then I think every dad would be happy with a second Thanksgiving of the year.
Who mistreated you? Like, how? Where does
this
come
the way
from?
It is.
Like, that was never the way it was in my house with my dad. My dad always got to choose where he got to go to, where he wanted to go to eat,
and who
all
paid
that.
For it, and who paid for it.
Well, I mean, I was a kid. What was I supposed to do?
Dad has to either pay for it or cook it himself. You know, that's just the way it is, man.
Well, for Father's Day, do you want Dylan Kraft paying for your meal?
I'm not opposed. Not completely.
Where's he
going to
get the money, Tom?
Well, you know, I mowed yards when I was 10, you know, or something. Chores. Something. You do something, you know.
I've never seen anyone so bitter about Father's Day.
I'm not bitter. I'm just telling you how it is. You wait till you're married with kids and you see how it is on Father's Day comparative to Mother's Day. And every guy out there listening right now is like, you know, he's telling the truth.
Is Dylan's Twitch stream paying off yet? Is that being monetized?
He keeps telling me there's millions of dollars coming in somewhere. I'm waiting to see that.
Get working on that.
Yeah. To play the video games and get
professional streamer,
way,
Dad. So. I want to make millions like some guy named Ninja who apparently makes $10 million a week or something. I don't know. I'm waiting on the ship to roll into port here.
Yeah.
Haven't seen it yet. Maybe that could pay for Father's Day lunch.
Yeah, well, maybe, because I guess I just always assumed that the father enjoyed being able to go where he wanted to go to eat and to be able to have the attention on him and maybe have some gifts. Did your kids give you gifts?
We do get the gifts.
Okay, so I don't know what's your problem here.
I'm just telling you, John, you're not there in life yet. You don't have the wife and the whole family package for you put together. I'm just telling you, when you sit down and you go left column versus right column, Mother's Day to Father's Day, it's going to be second place every time.
Well, Tommy, what you need to do is just say, listen, folks, I'm the paterfamilias of this family, and this is how Father's Day is going to go. And then they'll follow suit. You're going to tell your wife. You're going to say, listen, we're going to do this for dinner or this for lunch or however. We're going to go here, or this is what we're going to cook. And then kids, this is what you're going to do. And this is how, and so saith the shepherd, so saith the flock. I'm the paterfamilias. I'm doing it this way. That's what you need to do.
I just think Thanksgiving twice a year should be done. So,
yeah, I understand.
It would be part of a great, Super Bowl celebration, as someone brought up. That'd be a great menu to have for Super Bowl.
Yeah. Find
just
a way to do it.
Too close together.
I'm telling you, we are just figuring it all out here this morning. We have
what Oakland will do to us. You know?
I'm telling you. Yeah. I'm telling you. Like, it's just, if we could just have, because I know like people like Roger Goodell is listening to this show, and you know, the NFL commissioner, if he's listening and he can understand where we're coming from and moving the Super Bowl to Saturday, I think he's got a great argument from us, as well as other things, too.
Absolutely. It is a Fast Break Friday here on The Morning Rush, brought to you by Harry Robinson Buick GMC. Exit 11 off of I-540 in Fort Smith. $14,000 off retail right now in 2019 GMC Sierra Crew Cabs. I guess these Sierra Crew Cabs down to as low as $30,945. Great time to buy. The 19's got to go, including 19 Buick Encores, as low as $17,999. Harry Robinson Buick GMC, Exit 11 off of I-540 in Fort Smith.
If you want to get on the conversation, call or text into the Morning Rush at 877-377-6963. It's going to Ryan Van Buren. Says, Maddie has the call, but do Thanksgiving 2 in March. Break the long streak between January and May and then bring on spring. Well, I mean, that seems to be what everyone's into right now, is just finding some holiday between January and I guess, because spring break's not really a holiday once you get to be an adult, because that used to be a holiday as a kid.
Yeah, it's another week at work when you're an adult. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's that seems to be the case there. But, we could figure some things out. There's enough holidays to go around.
You know, if you're just hopping in, this conversation began with trying to move Super Bowl Sunday to Super Bowl Saturday and changing sports traditions, and somehow it evolved into me cooking a turkey twice a year.
And after 186 votes, it's still 72% to 28%. The majority wants it moved to Saturday.
I think the public wants a Super Bowl Saturday because it's more convenient. And the older you get, the easier it is to work off the effects of the Super Bowl party with a day in between.
Yeah. I mean, listen, it makes too much sense. The logic's there, Tommy. It's just about the execution. It's about getting people on board. And I hope that my kids one day, maybe my grandkids, will be able to enjoy a Super Bowl on a Saturday. That is my vision for the next generation.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light Seltzer, gluten-free with no artificial flavors.
Now he does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're number three, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
All right, so we got Henry, right, Tommy?
Yeah, Henry is, Henry is right here.
Good morning, everybody.
And you got double duty this week.
Oh, boy.
You get to make your picks, and you make Clay went duck hunting. So you're going to get to make his picks, too, because he liked your last name better than ours.
Oh, okay.
So he said, let Henry... He liked your first name because it matched his last name is what I was trying to say. So you get to pick for Clay. So you can either, you know, turn the knife or you can try to set him up for success.
Well, I don't have any problem, you know, going downhill with this.
Yes, okay. So, there we go.
We'll take that. We'll take that. And then just make sure you pick him wrong for Clay's sake so I can make sure he goes 0-for on this next one for sure. All right, let's go ahead and jump into our Fence Man Friday picks.
Fence Man Friday football picks. Call the Fence Man for all kinds of fences, controlled access, and custom iron projects. 479-782-3936. The Fence Man. We ain't afraid of no work.
All right, this is kind of an interesting weekend. Obviously, we got some SEC Big 12 Challenge games that we'll talk about. But you know what? The biggest game. I know the game that everyone's going to be watching, guys, is the Pro Bowl. I mean, it's...
Yeah.
Everyone's dying to watch the Pro Bowl.
50 or 60 people coming to the house to watch the Pro Bowl on Sunday.
Yeah. Oh, I bet so. I bet so. So since it is the Pro Bowl, and yes, folks, if you look at it, there are betting lines on the Pro Bowl. We'll have some fun with that.
You need an intervention if you're betting on the Pro Bowl.
If you're betting on the Pro Bowl, then I don't know what to tell you. But I tell you what, guys, we're gonna bet on it. We're not going to bet money, but we're going to bet our pride on the line. So let's do the Pro Bowl where, guys, the AFC is favored by 1.5 points over the NFC in the Pro Bowl. We'll start with Henry. Henry, who do you got?
Who's playing?
Well, exactly. That was my question. Who actually is going to be the quarterbacks? And you ask that question, it's like, well, they're going to be for a series or two. It's like, you know, you just got to go with your gut on this. So, I mean, it's just the All-Stars. I'll lead it off here. Give me the AFC. How many points? Well, it doesn't matter. Hell, just give me the AFC, whatever it is.
Well, you're betting the favorite in this one.
Yes.
Okay. You can do that. All right. I'll tell you what, Tommy. I'm going to go with the underdog of the NFC. You know, the AFC All-Stars are just so much better than the NFC All-Stars if you just really look at it. So give me the NFC in this game to cover the spread.
All right.
Yeah, give me the NFC. Let's go for that.
You want Clay to have the NFC or the AFC?
I'm going to have him do
the... The AFC?
Yeah.
All right. So Clay gets the AFC with me, and then you two boys are taking the NFC.
All right. We'll take that. We'll take that. All right. Well, here's the other fun thing, too. Now, this is strange because I wanted to do the over-under in this game, too, because as we know, guys, tackling doesn't happen in this Pro Bowl. Usually pretty high scoring, but I'm checking the over-unders for this. It's set at 52.
Yeah.
52 points. So we're not going to do the over-unders, but I tell you what we will do. We'll do total points scored in the Pro Bowl this weekend. Henry, how many total points scored are going to be happening in this game?
100.
Right. 100.
That'd be a good high-scoring all-star type of game.
Take that
all
day
long. It's like in the NBA all-star game, they may score 300 plus, which is not...
Does Pro Bowl go to overtime?
God, I hope not.
I don't think it does. Okay, so 100 points, Tommy. What do you got?
Give me 65.
65, okay. So you think it's going to be lower scoring than probably what's... Okay, so I'll meet you guys right in the middle. I'll take 80. Give me 80 points in this one.
All right.
So, fair enough.
Give us a number for Clay.
What about Clay?
40.
40. Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
You got it figured out now.
Now we're talking. All right, let's get to the Arkansas-TCU game this Saturday, obviously being played in Bud Walton Arena, part of the SEC Big 12 Challenge. This one's hard to find the line on because they wait till the very last minute when it comes to college basketball games. But the closest thing I could find to a line was that Arkansas is favored by 4 points in this game. I'll go ahead and kick it off. I say Arkansas wins this one, but... TCU covers. So it's going to be a close one, probably a one-possession game. Arkansas gets the victory, but I think TCU is going to be able to make a close one, so give me TCU in this one. Tommy?
Give me the Hogs minus the points. I figure the last 48 hours or so has not been a lot of fun to be around Eric Musselman. This team needs to respond and rebound. Hogs minus four.
Hogs minus four.
All right, they're at home. They're going to win big tomorrow.
I'm gonna take TCU.
All right,
TCU. Okay,
and then we'll give the other guy.
Yeah, give Clay. Yeah, Clay. He would take the Hogs. Yeah. No question.
He 100% would take the Hogs in this one. So that one all makes sense too, for sure. All right, and so since this has kind of been again a weird weekend for picking sports, how about this, guys? The SEC Big 12 Challenge is going on. And we know that there are, and I'm having to make sure that I get my math here correctly, because as we know, sometimes I'm not the best when it comes to counting. But I want to do how many wins does the SEC get
in 10
the
games.
SEC Big 12 Challenge. So, okay,
so what
10
do you,
games.
What do you think the record out of 10 will be? So
correct. That's my whole point. So, Tommy, we'll kick it off with you. What do you think the SEC's record will be?
I think they won 6 last year.
Yeah.
I think the Big 12 won 6. I'm going to go with 6. The SEC has 6 wins this year.
Okay, so they go 6-4.
Yes.
Okay, all right. I'll tell you what, I will go, I don't know, I think that the SEC is not going to do very well. Give me 5-5. I think they break even, but I think it's a close one there. What about you, Henry?
I'm going to go 4-6.
4-6, okay. Yeah. I think the SEC struggles there. All right, fair enough. And what about Clay?
Clay would go 50-50. He's always 50-50, so he would go 5-5, but since you took that, We'll just give him 7.
All right.
Yeah. We'll give him 7.
Have him go a little positive there. Okay, so there you have it. You got Clay's got it at 7. Henry's got it at 4. I got it at 5. Tommy, you got it at 6. So let's go ahead and lock in those picks this weekend.
All right, so it should be a fun weekend of watching college basketball. I'll let you do all the reporting on the Pro Bowl.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Hey, Henry is ready to go. I know it's been some bad weather, wet weather, cold and 34, and raining's about as miserable as it gets, but you guys have still been out building fences. If someone's wanting a new fence in 2020, whether it's a wood privacy, vinyl fencing, chain link, custom wrought iron, you do all kinds of fencing.
All kinds. And now's a perfect time to come and visit with us and talk about your project. And then, too, we also have special financing we can do. So if you're strapped tight, you know, we've got the special financing in play. So give us a call.
All right, 479-782-3936. Even if you just need simple fence repairs, you got a gate that's sagging or won't open any longer, you got a section of fence that's been blown down since a recent storm, Henry and the fenceman, they can fix that as well. 479-782-3936. That's 782-3936. Northwest Arkansas, River Valley, Eastern Oklahoma, down I-40, wherever you're listening this morning, they will come to you. 782-3936 for the Fitzman. Henry ain't afraid of no work.
That's right.
All right. Have a good weekend. We'll see you next Friday.
See you next Friday.
All right.
All right. Appreciate it as always, Henry. If you guys want to get in on the conversation as we're broadcasting live here from Oaklawn in Hot Springs, call or text into the Morning Rush at 877-377-6963. We're going to have some fun with Oaklawn, but we're also going to have some fun with Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Going to be joining us on the other side of the break. Talk a little SEC Big 12 Challenge with him and a lot more in the third hour of the Morning Rush. Stay with us.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Follow the show on Twitter at HitThatLineAR.
Arkansas has a big game against TCU tomorrow in Fayetteville, Bud Walton Arena, part of the SEC Big 12 Challenge. And to help us continue to discuss that and talk about it a little more, let's welcome in Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Good morning, Tom. How you doing, man?
Hey, guys. I'm doing wonderful. Good to be on.
Well, it's always good to have you on because there's a lot of things we want to get to with you. First off, though, I want to kind of start off with what happened on Wednesday night with the Razorback basketball team losing to Mississippi State. Back-to-back losses now for the Razorbacks. They definitely need this one against TCU. But, Tom, is it just a simple deal with where the way they lost to Mississippi State or just chalking it up to they just don't have size inside? Is it simple as saying they just didn't make the free throws when they should have? They fouled too much? I mean, what was the reasoning behind that loss, and is that reason a fixable thing going forward for the Razorbacks?
Well, those are all good questions, and I think it all played a role, particularly the length part, because Mississippi State, they've been blowing people away, and the way Arkansas had played against Kentucky, I was quite concerned that they were going to get massacred on the boards. And, you know, they got beaten, but they got beaten in kind of that acceptable range for, you know, who they are right now. But I do think the free throws played a really key part in it. And here's something Eric Musselman pointed out yesterday was the free throws attempted by Mississippi State. I think he was insinuating that Arkansas wasn't getting the same calls, but he didn't say that. But Reggie Perry shot, I think, 15 free throws and went 14 of 15. and he really kind of killed them. But if you ask me, if you look through all the numbers, like their shooting percentage was really bad, and Isaiah Joe is just not shooting the ball well right now, it's really kind of amazing that they stayed within 7 points.
Yeah.
So I know that they're going to put their finger on the issues and try to get better. Now, the free throws, it's two games in a row now that, I mean, they were 0-for-5. And they almost didn't make a free throw until right at the very end. Mason Jones hit a few. But they've got to drive the ball more. I mean, I could go on and on, but I think Eric Musselman and his staff are really good at identifying issues and addressing them and making it important to the players.
How much of the free throw disparity the other night was Reggie Perry was drawing double and triple teams, and when you put three guys on a player of his ability, fouls are going to happen. That's why he ended up with free throw. He got fouled 9 times and had 15 free throw attempts. Some of that is Arkansas's forced to double and triple team a big guy like that. That's going to create some of this free throw disparity.
It is, and it's, you know, being on the road the way it was and having that huge height differential is going to play a role in that. An interesting factoid that came out of it was that Arkansas outscored him in the paint. I'm not looking at the numbers right now. You might have the box.
But I do.
They got inside, and I think that's a really clever – it was a clever way to score in that game, but I also think it's something the Razorbacks are going to have to do more of. I mean, they went right at the height. They drove in there, and I like the way that they pass post. But Reggie Chaney is an astute ball handler, and he can make the post-to-post passes, and he can catch them. So he's just got to – I think he's going to start playing more minutes as this thing goes on.
We're speaking with Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette right now on the Morning Rush. All right, Tom, let's talk about this game tomorrow. It's the SEC Big 12 Challenge. It's always interesting. It's always fun, especially when the conference gets involved in this. And TCU, they're a team that not really many people talk about. They're not exactly a big-time basketball program on the scheme of things, but they are a good team. They got Jamie Dixon there, who's a really good coach. What do you make of this matchup, and do you think that this game can be a little more favorable towards Arkansas? Because from what it looks like in the statistics, TCU is not exactly the best rebounding team either.
Right. Well, it's still they're still a very talented team. It's a tough matchup, and what I liked about Eric Musselman's demeanor was I'm a bad loser. I want you have to feel it, and if you lost two in a row, then you want to win so badly that you listen to the coaches. You concentrate on the areas that we need to improve. So I expect a better performance. I cannot imagine that Isaiah Joe's shooting slump will continue much longer, and they'll be back at home on a Saturday. I mean, so it's going to be another huge environment, and that tips in their favor, obviously. And I expect them to have scouted TCU very well and be ready to go in there and exploit what they can. And I think they're going to break out of their two-game losing streak.
Yeah. How do you think the SEC will fare as a whole this weekend in the 10 games? What game is also your favorite matchup this weekend?
Well, obviously the marquee game. I think Baylor at Florida, the way the Gators played at LSU, and by the way, y'all probably watched that. Mike White schemed up a beautiful inbound with 0.5 seconds left, and the only thing that kept that from being a tie game was it took Johnson too long to get it out of his hands on a wide open, unguarded layup. They're playing very well. So Baylor upset alert there. But there's a lot of good games. I mean, Tennessee going into Kansas is with D'Souza being suspended, and well, that was an ugly finish to that game. But they're playing good basketball right now. So, you know, the first game after a suspension situation like this, the Wildcats are going to be trying to figure out lineups and all. So they're slightly vulnerable. And Kentucky at Texas Tech is a great matchup as well, and I think the Arkansas TCU game is one of the better ones too. So it's filled with good matchups. The Big 12 has the top RPI in the country right now. So I think I heard Pat Bradley say that he favored the SEC in maybe 8 of the games. So that's pretty stunning. I don't know if they can get to that margin. The biggest it's been is 7-3, and that's owned by the Big 12. So I'm going to say 6-4 in favor of the SEC.
Tom, what do you make of this conference right now? I'm still trying to figure it out. I'm still trying to figure out who's the best team in the conference. Obviously, there's some guys that or some teams that are better than others. But it's really hard and difficult to figure out what this conference is and just truly how good it's going to be and how many teams can get into the tournament.
Yeah, yesterday John Calipari said he thought 6-8. Right now the prognosticators say 5. Heard Bruce Pearl on there yesterday saying that the very, very top may not be quite as what like Auburn last year going to the Final Four. He says, but the middle is so much tougher. And I agree with that. That's why Arkansas going to Mississippi State was a tough game for them. And everybody at home is tougher to beat. There's a couple at the bottom, Vanderbilt and Ole Miss. And I cannot figure Georgia out. They're struggling too. But other than that, even Texas A&M has had a stretch of playing some really good games. And Missouri spanked Florida at home. So that middle section of the SEC is deep and talented.
Yeah. Should be an interesting week. Crowd coming back. I mean, I don't think this atmosphere at Bud Walton's going to be anything near like it was for Kentucky, but another full house. And what do you think the atmosphere will be like, and how big of an edge do you think it gives Arkansas against TCU, who's installed as a 4-point favorite, according to the odds makers?
Yeah, well, so that means they're very respectful of TCU and their capabilities. I think it's going to give Arkansas a big edge. And I think, the circumstances and the opponent and everything set up to be really massive against Kentucky, and it was. And I expect it to be loud. I mean, once the game gets going and Isaiah Joe makes a three or Mason Jones hits a three, the people are going to let the Horned Frogs know it. So I think it's going to be another big-time atmosphere. Just a little earlier in the day, so it might not be quite to that level, as you mentioned.
You know, Tom, we've been having some fun here on the show just discussing with the Super Bowl upcoming not a week from Sunday. I want your thought on this, because I know you're an NFL guy, you're a Falcons guy, and maybe the Super Bowl still has a better taste in your mouth from when you guys played it. But just out of curiosity, though, Tom, would you prefer the Super Bowl to be played on a Saturday? Because it seems like some of the biggest sporting events always need to be played and had on times where the most audience can have its reach and all of that, and television, I get all that. But the Super Bowl is the event of the year, and to me it would make more sense, and everybody would win it if it was involved, with having the Super Bowl actually on Sunday night or Saturday night instead of Sunday.
Well, I mean, it would make for a more raucous party atmosphere across the country, because you know a lot of people have to work the next day. But the NFL, it's almost as if that's their day. I mean, well, it basically is, and I don't think they're even going to entertain that thought. I saw that some boy had started a petition, but I don't see that going anywhere. I mean, that's something that can percolate for a few years before it gets any momentum. But I'm okay with the Sundays. I'm going to be in Nashville for this one. It's going to be weird.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, I don't think the NFL is ever going to relinquish that, because they own the whole day. They've done their research. I think more people nationally would enjoy it, but I don't know it's the best business decision for the NFL. And the Super Bowl is an international event. We focus on it here in our own lives, in our own backyards, but it truly is a international event.
Oh, no question about that. And even people who don't like football that much will go to Super Bowl parties to watch the ads and all that. But I'll tell you one thing I don't like at all is all the lead up, all the feature stories and stuff, for the hours and hours. I mean, some of it I'm sure is very compelling and very, you know, fun to watch. I just want to watch the, when the Falcons were in the game a few years ago, we went over and shopped in Tulsa and ate at Trader Joe's and went to Cheesecake Factory and came home right before kickoff, because I didn't want to watch any of that stuff. So, but it is absolutely an international phenomenon. Countries around the world more and more love American football, and I don't know. It's a great sport. It's a violent sport, and people love it.
All right, Tom, just real quick before I let you get out of here, what about the national championship game in college football? Mm-hmm. Would that be okay moving into a Saturday? Because I also know that they have to, that the reason that they don't, or at least one of the reasons they don't, is because the NFL has their playoff games usually on that Saturday too as the championship. But do you feel like there maybe could be something to be had to where the college football national championship could be held on a Saturday? Because that should be college football's day is Saturday throughout the fall.
Yeah. Yeah, that would take a good dive into the structure of when the days that the other bowls are held. You know, the calendar says, what is it, the Saturday before New Year's Day that the semifinals are held. And then, yeah, they'd have to take a dive into that because has it been on Mondays, right, in recent years? Or I don't even know. What day of the week was it on this year? Do y'all remember that? But, yeah, I would be all in favor of it being on a Saturday.
Yeah, I think we all would be in favor of that. That is for sure. Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Always appreciate it, Tom. Have a great weekend, man. We'll catch up with you next week, all right?
Sounds great. See y'all.
All right, appreciate it as always, Tom. We are the Morning Rush. We are brought to you by Baxter Regional, Tom.
Hey, if you just don't feel like going to the doctor or you're just too sick to go and you want to see the doctor because you need to be diagnosed and treated, the Baxter Regional Care app is perfect for you. Download it to your phone, your tablet, or your computer from the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store, and you'll have access to 24-hour medical professionals who can assess, diagnose, and treat your condition, as well as prescribe medication if needed. Each visit is only $69. The Baxter Regional Care app is free in the Apple App or Google Play Store, or visit BaxterRegionalCare.com for more details. The Baxter Regional Care app, your 24-hour on-demand doctor.
I think I'm good now, Tommy. We're broadcasting live from Oaklawn here in Hot Springs, and I just ate my breakfast during Tom Murphy's interview.
They always take good care of us at Oaklawn.
They certainly do. They certainly do. And it was good stuff, too. So I really appreciate them. I want to give them a shout-out.
Yeah, big weekend at Oaklawn. Opening day today. First post time of the season is and the meet is at 12:30 today. The big day for a lot of folks is tomorrow on Saturday, 50-cent corned beef sandwiches. We're going to talk more about all this with Lane Whitman, who's going to join us in our next segment. And he'll be with us each Friday throughout the year to break down the weekend that's coming. There's four big million-dollar races this year on the card: the Rebel Stakes in March, the Arkansas Derby, the Apple Blossom, and the Oaklawn Handicap, all coming up this year with some big stakes races and a couple of those that'll have big implications moving towards the Kentucky Derby. So all that coming up. We'll talk with Lane Whitman in about 10 minutes or so here on the Morning Rush and get you ready for Oaklawn, which I know Hot Springs is a buzz right now about the start of the meet this year, John.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm looking around, and more people are starting to come in, and you can see that they got some television crews here to kind of film the horses and everything. The only thing about it, Tommy, is I was looking at the weather, and, you know, I guess it is January, so it can't be necessarily too surprising to me, but it's going to be a cold one today as well. In Hot Springs, it's actually one of the warmer parts of the state where it's going to be a high of 44. I know that there in the River Valley, it's only going to be a high of roughly around 40 this morning. And in Northwest Arkansas, a high of 38. So it is definitely a cold one here today. But that's not going to keep anybody from coming out here and enjoying these races and enjoying Oaklawn, because I'm telling you, the atmosphere here is electric. And as I've mentioned before, and I'll mention it again, if you have not been to Oaklawn here in Hot Springs before, first off, I want to question how long you've been living in Arkansas and why it's been so long since you've come out and checked it out. But also, if you haven't, you have to come down and visit it. And not only that, but make sure you get involved and get the Oaklawn Anywhere app. That is an awesome thing that you have to do. And because, listen, if you like to come down here and check out the races, that's great. But then there's sometimes, maybe some weekends, where you can't come down here and really enjoy it the way you want to. But that's what the Oaklawn Anywhere app is available for. And you can get in the Apple App Store, where new members, if you sign up for it, because it's completely free, but new members who sign up for it, you get a $150 sign-up bonus, but only by using the promo code RUSH20. Just use RUSH20 for your promo code, get a $150 sign-up bonus, and you can check that out as well. And as Tommy, as we've also talked about here this morning, if you're looking at some of the great aspects and the great perks of Oaklawn this week, especially opening weekend too, the 50-cent corned beef sandwiches, I may have to stay around and get me one of those, maybe two, maybe three. Because, you know, if I really want to splurge and spend $1.50 on some corned beef sandwiches, that may be the route that I want to go.
The lines will be long for that tomorrow, but well worth it. But the corned beef sandwich, every time you go to Oaklawn, it's like a must-do. I mean, the food is as good as it's as good as anything there. I mean, as far as the people watching, the atmosphere, watching the races, the horses, just seeing all the things that go on a race day, the food's, you know, certainly part of the attraction. And Oaklawn has some great stuff for you to enjoy, all kinds of stuff there at Oaklawn.
Yeah, so be sure to download their Oak Lawn Anywhere app and always get the latest information and updates on everything going on with Oak Lawn Racing as well. You know, we've been having a lot of good conversation this morning, just getting done with Tom Murphy, the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, talking about that SEC Big 12 Challenge tomorrow, especially with Arkansas and TCU. And it's just, I would be hard-pressed, Tommy, to think that Arkansas loses three straight with the way Eric Musselman prepares and looks for a team. I would just be shocked if that ended up happening. Because you know how much preparation he puts in. You know how much film study he does. You know how he's made good adjustments, not only in games, but also game to game. And I think that, honestly, when you keep looking at it and keep chalking up, yeah, if Arkansas could have made more threes, of course they would have won Mississippi State and probably even Kentucky. Like, you can say, well, just make more shots and you win. Yeah, it's easy to say. But I also believe that those were just two bad matchups for this team. It was just bad matchups. Yeah. That's what happens in basketball, especially, because if you need any sort of proof of that, look at the NCAA tournament. Why didn't the NCAA tournament, are there so many upsets? It could be just because you have a bad shooting game, but a lot of times it's just about having a bad matchup in these games. So, you know, just try to remember that when you're looking at these games and these matchups and saying, like, Arkansas lost to Mississippi State, they should never lose that game. Well, look at the matchup. Look at the players they were going up against. Look at Reggie Perry. That guy was just beasting on Arkansas, and it was nothing against them. It's not like they didn't have a player that was just sitting there that wasn't doing anything against them. They tried to do it, but you're limited in what you have this year. So just try to remember that matchups are key, and tomorrow's matchup against TCU, to me at least, should be a favorable one towards Arkansas, where I don't see TCU just going in and getting 30-plus rebounds on Arkansas. Or, you know, just keep trying to bang it down low and getting, what was it, 21 points, plus 21 points on free throws that Mississippi State had on Wednesday night. I don't see that happening either. I see that this game is going to go in Arkansas's favor. They're going to get right back on track. And then once the rest of the SEC slate happens, then they'll really have to really hammer down and try to get and figure this out as far as getting some consistency from some of their star players, especially.
I know a lot of people want to, you know, to look at that free throw disparity and say the game wasn't called the same on both ends. But some of this is, Johnny, you're just forced to foul. When they have a mismatch advantage, when the opponent does like Mississippi State did, your choice is to let them score or foul. And Arkansas just chose to foul, which they needed to. Reggie Perry got fouled 9 times. That's why he was at the line 15 for 15 attempts. There's going to be more of these games. You got to play State again. There's going to be more games where you just don't have the physical size. So your choice is to let them score at will and try to beat them with your three-point shooting, or put them on the line and see if you can beat them there. And Reggie Perry was, if he'd have went 8 for 15 instead of 14 for 15, it'd have been a different ballgame.
Mm-hmm. And if you could also have found a way to get him in foul trouble, that would be key too.
And he did have 4 fouls in the game, but you got to get him in foul trouble earlier.
Early is the key.
Hey, we're brought to you by Williams Tractor. New Holland Dealer Days are back, and they're opening their doors to tackle the season ahead with special preseason savings available now, featuring 0% financing and cashback offers on select New Holland hay tools, tractors, and material handling equipment. Stop in right now at Williams Tractor in Fayetteville, Berryville, or Bobcat of Northwest Arkansas and Rogers, and learn more about all of the preseason savings going on right now.
Coming up next on The Morning Rush, we're going to be joined by Lang Whitman. Going to talk a little bit more about Oak Lawn, some of the races, and some of the great things going on down here in Oak Lawn. He's a very intelligent individual when it comes down to Oak Lawn. He's a resident, if you will, of Oak Lawn. So it's going to be great to catch up with him, get some more information on everything going on, and seeing what he has to say. And we'll also get, of course, into more of your phone calls, more of your text messages, more about Razorback basketball, more everything, as The Morning Rush is broadcasting live for Oak Lawn in Hot Springs. Stay with us.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light Seltzer, available in black cherry, strawberry, lemon lime, and mango.
Give is to Alex Collins, straight up the middle, and Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas, 80 yards.
All right, we're broadcasting live here from Oak Lawn here in Hot Springs. And it's always great to come out to Tommy. I mean, any time that we have an opportunity to come down here and do a live show, it is so much fun, and they always treat us in first class, if you will. So, you know, I wish that you were down here with me so you could, you know, enjoy the greatness and the food and the atmosphere, because everyone's coming up and asking where you're at and get
sure
a picture with you. And
yep.
I said that, you know, he wanted to be here. He really did. But you know, somebody's got to run the board, as you say. Somebody's got to run the board.
Well, it's just too foggy to get the plane out this morning. So
It was a little cold this morning. Time, yeah. You know, you didn't want to spend the time, you know, having to heat up the plane to get it right to where you need it to get. So,
sure.
But maybe next time. Maybe next time you'll be able to do that.
Well, I will be there soon enough, I promise you.
Yeah, well, because I was thinking about this, too. As far as in the state of Arkansas and some of the events that go on, which Arkansas has a lot of great events, but to me, when people ask about the state of Arkansas and say if they're coming in for the first time, they've never visited, hey, what, you know, what is there to do? What should I do? What should I see? You know, one of the first things I always think of is Oaklawn, because it's just – it's something that, as I said in the show before – or in the previous hour, that you just – you just come here, and even if you're not a horse racing fan, even if you don't know anything about horse racing, it's just one of those places you can come and find different ways to enjoy yourself. Mm-hmm. You can bet on some of these horses. You can enjoy some of the great food, the great atmosphere that they have. The people that are here are always so friendly. I mean, it's got something for everybody, even if you don't know much about horse racing. Can I tell you right now, I don't know much about horse racing. You know, I know that, Tom, you know a lot more than I do, and I know your buddy Scott is a big horse racing guy as well. But, man, I'm over here, and I'm just kind of like, well, that one looks cool. I like the spots watching, of where that one's at. Yeah.
Just watching the animals work is fun in and of itself. And now they got the gaming, and they've expanded that with the sports wagering. And I mean, there's, if you don't want to be out there at the track the whole time, you can go spend some time in the gaming center. So, I mean, there's something for everyone there. Great food, lots of entertainment. They got live music in the evenings, great cold drinks and adult beverages. So you're going to find something for everyone. And here's the thing. Bring the kids. Let the, you know, kids can't wager on it, but my kids love going to watch the horses run. They just like seeing the horses.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's part of the fun. It's part of the greatness, that is for sure. You know, as far as this weekend and some of the events also going on, just in the sports world, we got the Arkansas-TCU game coming up with the SEC Big 12 Challenge as well. And I know that's a big game that a lot of people are looking forward to, and people are going to be making the trip up there to Fayetteville, so enjoy that as well. Let's go to the phone lines. Richard is in Van Buren. What's going on, Richard?
Oh, how you doing? Thank you for having me.
Of course.
Everything's going pretty good here. It sounds like you guys are having a real good time. But one of the things that has been on my mind and bothering me quite a bit lately is the referees. I think, you know, I mean, everybody has it. You know, I'm a big Arkansas fan. And any time that anybody does something, you know, against Arkansas, we're up in arms because the ref never called it. But during that last game, there was three fouls that I saw, and I'm not an official. I just know basketball a little bit, and the referees are looking right at it,
yep,
and they don't call it. And, you know, and like we said, the disparity is just unbelievable sometimes, and I feel that Mo Musselman had the right idea. He wanted to guard Perry real, real close, and they did. And I saw him twice or three times push the defender down, you know, and the referee's looking right at it.
Yep, just so let it go.
It really bothers me.
Yeah, me too, Richard. I'm with you. I mean, yeah. There's something needs to be done about it is what needs to happen.
I really believe so, yeah. Especially in basketball. Well, and football too. It's just as bad because I remember one game where they called the equal number of fouls. The fouls they called on Arkansas brought back a field goal and a touchdown, and the team we were playing, it just got them 10 yards.
Yeah, yeah. Got the shaft again, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yep.
And, you know,
I'm with you.
Tired of getting the shaft.
Yep.
I'm tired.
It's
we got
old.
Too good of teams.
It hurts.
And we got too many good players for them to sit there and shaft us like that.
Yep. Yeah, I think if it wasn't for the refs, they'd have beat Mississippi State the other night. I'm with you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I do believe it. Perry would have fouled out for sure.
Oh, he should have fouled out in the first half. I mean,
yeah,
bull in a china shop. Yeah, yeah.
He was – Musselman had the right idea. He covered them so quickly. But that really bothered him. But he was hipping them and pushing them with their arm.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rest
every time.
Of them,
every
the
trip.
Says,
every trip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous sometimes because, you know – flagrant foul and the referee's looking at it, give me a break.
Yeah. That Pat Adams, that Doug Shouse, man, they do it every time to Arkansas. Every time.
Every time.
Yep.
You're right.
I don't know why they keep working the Final Four like every year. I mean, they let them guys work the Final Four all the time. They're terrible, right?
Well,
yeah.
It's
just awful. Yeah.
But I was a football official. And
so you know what you're talking about then, yeah.
And you're right. There's cliques, and there's guys that have been around for 100 years, and they always get the good games.
Yep.
And
political.
I imagine that's what's very going political. On there.
Yeah. Very political. Yeah.
Extremely political.
They probably go fishing with the guy that makes the decision or something. Like play golf with him or something. You know.
And they buy him.
And they sit around. And they drink bourbon and talk about how to screw Arkansas over. That's what they do.
I hear you, and I feel for it.
No, I'm with you. I'm tired of the shaft. That's what I'm tired of, Richard.
I don't mind losing. We lost to Kentucky. And
I'm tired of getting cheated, Richard. I'm just tired of getting cheated.
That's right. I am, too.
I'm with you.
Yeah, here we go. Well, listen, I'll get off my soapbox. Y'all have a great time. And don't bet too much on the horses, because it's not a sure thing.
No, I bet the horse refs will cheat us there, too. They'll be bumping and pushing and flagrant ones coming down the home street. Nothing will be done.
Nothing will be done.
Nothing will be done.
Well, listen, guys, thank you for having me, and y'all have a great day.
Call of the week right there.
Thank you, Richard. As soon as he called in and he started with, I want to talk about the referees.
Oh, I do too.
I was like, I turned my mic off. I'm like, I am going to let Tommy Kraft handle this one because I am sure it is going to be a fire take.
The only, I mean, that Doug Chiles, that Pat Adams.
Oh, man.
When they work another Final Four, I mean, it'd be like their sixth Final Four. They got terrible. Just terrible. You know,
it's pretty trash, Tommy. They're trash. Trash referees.
They all just sit around the league office and talk about how to stick to Arkansas.
Uh-huh. How many people do you think actually like feel the same way that Richard does, though?
About 97% of the fans.
Yeah, because I mean, listen,
every fan base, Alabama fans think that they're getting it stuck to them, and Kentucky fans think they get the wrong end of the stick. It's true everywhere.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, there's just sometimes it makes you wonder how much of the screwing, if there's enough to go around for everybody. You know, at some point in time, somebody has to get the benefit when everybody else is claiming that the refs are out to get them or something. Yeah. I don't know.
The grand conspiracy.
See, here's the
Maybe
thing,
Maybe we
Tom,
need to get Congress involved, you know?
Yeah. Start really making some moves. Yeah. But, see, that's the problem, Tommy, is that, you know, you and your official buddies, you all huddle together.
Oh, yeah.
You start texting each other about, all right, so, okay, who are we betting on this week?
It's a big group text.
Yeah, because everybody just feels like you guys are all just a bunch of Tim Donaghy's, just hanging out and, you know, feeling about, how can we make some money on this?
It is the best-kept secret in sports. Yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, man. I think the best thing about that call, Tommy, is, you know, you're a pretty good actor, I guess, because you were going along with it, and he was like, yeah, exactly. I mean, I agree.
Yeah.
That was great. Like, Kristen Van Buren just texted me. He says, Tommy just made my day with that call. Pretty sure Mr. Richard has no idea of the shtick. No, I don't think he did either.
Yeah.
Poor Richard.
One of my buddies just texted me. He said, yeah, we all have a quilting party and get together and figure out how to stick it to Arkansas. That's exactly right. A big quilting party.
Yeah, exactly. And this one comes from the 479 saying, I'll have what Richard's having because you are terrible, Tommy. You are terrible.
Yeah, I've never been told that before either.
Hey, an update on our Twitter poll. People voting to whether or not the Super Bowl should be moved to Saturday from Sunday. 457 votes. 75% of people want it moved to Saturday. 25% want it to stay on Sunday.
Well, that's still
Saturday
pretty surprising.
Or Sunday, the refs is going to just screw them.
Yeah, I'm surprised.
Yeah. There it is.
The refs are the reason why it's on Sundays, Tommy.
That's right. They'll just be pushing people down and nobody's going to call anything.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's almost like you've heard some of these things before.
Yeah. Line three. Line four.
Oh, man. It's fantastic. I'm actually surprised,
that's
though.
That's what makes sports fun, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's not the players or the coach's fault, well, you know, who else are you going to blame?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, listen, when I was in the student section at the U of A, Tommy, I told you this. My goal for every game was to get an official to acknowledge my presence. And as soon as I did, it was over. I knew I got him. I had won.
I bet you didn't win that battle very often.
Not very often, but the times I did, if I made one, I wish I could remember which one it was, but I made him laugh with one of the comments I made. I'm like, yep, I made it. Mm-hmm. It was when Arkansas was playing SMU, and I yelled at him because they were terrible, of course, and I said, you guys must be Methodist because that's the only reason why you're calling this game the way it are. He thought it was pretty funny.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, so I like to get a little humorous with it, but either way. That was a great end of the day. That was a great end of the week.
We had a coach once tell us where it was a game against a public school versus a private Christian school, and he didn't like one of the calls, and his response to us is, "We love Jesus, too."
Oh, my goodness. Great. That's pretty great.
I mean, I couldn't help but laugh at that.
That's the thing. You could probably appreciate good comments, like good things that are, if they're clever enough to be insulted. So, but, folks, it's been a great show. Really appreciate Oaklawn down here in Hot Springs for having us out. It's always a great time, so be sure to come down here this weekend and enjoy it, and all Oaklawn season long, because it's always a great time, so be sure to catch up and enjoy it. For Tommy Kraft and Maddie T, I am John Neighbors. Same sports show, same sports channel next Monday. Have a great weekend, everybody. We will see you then.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Bud Light Seltzer, 5% ABV and only 100 calories. We'd put it up against any other seltzer out there.